710 and 99.3 WBT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the DJ Ritchie Show.
Well, hello there. What's going on, baby? That's some of my Louisiana speak for you, baby. That's what they call people. Not my area of the state where I'm from. That's the way the Cajun people and the New Orleans people. They're two different peoples. That's what they say. How you doing, baby? You heard me? That little Isaac is not here tonight. I don't know. He must have had him a date or something. Cute little fella. But Lonnie is here, and Andrew is here. Sweet Andrew. Don't get it twisted. Don't call him Andy. That's Andrew. Oh, man, that Brett Jensen was in a good mood tonight. I heard him cutting up, talking about the Sky Show being the best date night thing you can go to.
Yep. He was all over that.
So, I don't even know if I'm going to be allowed to have a guest there. Turn your micro on. They don't even let me make the promotional announcements about the thing.
Hey, man.
They don't even want me to talk about it, I guess, because everybody else gets those little cards that they can, you know, promote it and talk it up and everything.
Hey, man, we're going to have a good time. TJ Ritchie in the building. Hey.
I don't know if I'm going now. If I'm not even good enough to talk about it, to promote it, why would... Well, I guess they got to have somebody there to sweep. Yeah. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that, but I don't know if I'm taking my wife. She might get, you know, like she's somebody or something. You don't play that. Hold on a minute. I messed up my, I'm doing video stuff here because I'm that narcissistic. But I'm trying to put together, you know, every night I video so I can put it up as a podcast and stuff, but I've never put it up, I don't think, because I don't have anybody to edit it and that sort of thing. So basically just archiving is what I'm doing. All right. So a lot going on as usual. Iran, that situation is just getting kookier and kookier with the media trying to find every way possible to make this out to be something bad that President Trump did, or how he failed and the military failed and all of that. Now they've shown the pictures and videos of those bunker buster bombs that were hitting directly on their targets that they were supposed to hit. And I mean, I look at that and I just think I'm in awe of it. I am in awe of what not only our military capabilities are, but I'm in awe of our people who volunteer to be in the military and put their lives on the line for our freedom, to protect our freedom. And when I see how much of our freedom inside the country is just being given away and walked away from, it's a bigger slight on our military than even the media is doing, trying to say that our military didn't do what they were supposed to do in these Iranian strikes that we just did. When I see somebody like that, that new mayoral candidate in New York, who is, he's basically an anti-American, Islamist communist. And he hates everything that has made America great. And for people to just stand by and let him be in a powerful position, It makes me sick, and I don't understand it. Oh, I understand it. I understand why it's happening. But it's hard for me to understand, I guess, how it got this far. So with Iran, the media is still trying to pull out, you know, regime change. You want regime change. It's because whenever they say regime change, then they can, they can take that to and run with it and say, oh, we're going into another endless ground war and all of that. And President Trump has never said anything about a ground war. And even today, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, was doing a press conference, and one of the reporterettes was asking him a question and trying her best just to come up with something negative, because he said something about he was proud of our bomber boys or our boys in the bombers or something like that. And she said, well, I find it curious that there were women involved in the mission. There was a woman pilot, and you didn't say you appreciated her work. I mean, come on. And he just looked at her, and you know he wanted to go off in all kinds of ways, but he did go off on her, but in a nicer way than I would have. But they're just searching for reasons why they can report that Trump messed up and we shouldn't be taking out these nuclear sites. And I figured it out, you know, because I look at it like anybody who has a weapon that can take out thousands and tens of thousands of people all at one time, and they say, death to America, I get mad about that. And I say, you know, I've been saying it on here. Let me hear you say death to America one more time. I wish you would. Because I'm all in favor of regime change, but regime change by destroying the leaders of Iran from top down. Get them out of there. You can't trust them. They lie. You can't trust them in any type of agreement for a ceasefire or a peace treaty or anything else, because they're evil people. They got to go. Eternal dirt nap. Put them in it. They've killed thousands and thousands of innocent people, including American citizens, either directly or by proxy. So why should they not be dead? Huh? But the reason why the left, you know, whether they're in the media, whether they're in academia, or whether they're in an elected position as a professional Democrat, the reason they think it's okay, not that big a deal for Iran or any other rogue state to say death to America, is because they don't like America either. So it's not that big of an insult to them. They understand why Iran would say death to America. The liberals over here, the Marxists, the commucrats, as I call them, they don't like America either. So why would they get all up in arms, no pun intended, if another country says death to America? They get it. They would say it themselves. As a matter of fact, they work for it. Death to what America is. That's what this mayoral candidate in New York is doing. He doesn't want America the way it is. And we're in a lot of trouble if something doesn't change. And it goes back to what I was saying the other night. We got to stop all immigration right now. All of it. Illegal, legal, all of it has got to stop until we can get a handle on this. And I'm not playing. You can't trust them over there in Iran. You can't trust those leaders to do anything that they say they're going to do, because they've lied and lied and lied. Do away with this crop of leaders, which you've taken out most of them anyway. The next ones that come up, when they start acting the same way, take them out. We've got to start setting the tone a little bit differently. And we're going to have to do it over here, too. Set the tone differently, that is. Okay, so we're having fun already. Let's go. Come on now. Fun. 704-570-1110 is the phone number. Call me. We got more coming up next.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's not right now, but it's coming up in a little bit. We have a little segment featuring my girlfriend. And that would be Jazzy Felicia Crockett from the House of Representatives. So she went off, man. She going off. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But one of my favorite representatives now in the House is a young fella. He's been coming on strong lately. I believe he's from Texas. His name is Brandon Gill, and he doesn't play. When he's in these hearings, he's given the questions. He's not accepting any kind of BS answers or dodges or anything like that. He looks at them, and when they start talking and he goes to repeat his question, he smiles at them like, okay, I'm playing your game, but I'm not letting you push me, you know. So he had some intellectual, had the doctor title, so some sort of educator. And they were talking about DEI in the colleges and that sort of thing. And this is how that exchange went.
Do you believe that America should be a colorblind society? For instance, should people be treated differently based on their race? It's just a yes or no question.
It's not a yes or no question.
It's a yes or no question.
It is a, as I said in the beginning of my testimony, America
yes
has
no
not done
fine.
Right by should, indigenous should people, peoples, by black people, by Asian American and Pacific Islander
should people.
People
be treated differently based on their race, yes or no?
People should receive the services and the support and the remedies that
so
are
your answer
owed
is
to them.
That they should be treated differently based on their race.
They should receive the remedies that are owed to them because of the systemic racism and injustice.
Do you believe that race should be considered in employer hiring practices?
I do not believe that white people are the only qualified people for jobs.
I didn't say that. Nobody said that. I asked you if race should be considered an employer hiring practices. And you're not going to intimidate me by slandering me as a racist.
You're also, I did not call you a racist.
Now,
you're not going to intimidate
it,
me
you
by insisting
it. I'm asking
that I called you a
straightforward
racist.
Question. It's a yes or no question. Should race be considered an employer hiring practices? Yes or no?
I believe that diversity ought to be considered as companies and other organizations attempt to reflect their customers, our country.
I'll take that as a yes. Which race do you think should be preferred?
I do not think that a single race should be preferred.
Well, you just said that you believe that race should be considered in employer hiring practices.
I don't know. There's going to be a transcript of this hearing. I didn't say that in that way.
Okay. Why don't you explain what you believe?
What I
Very
said
briefly.
And what I believe is that the demographic composition of workplaces,
which
our nation's military,
by demographic
and so on,
composition.
Our Congress ought to reflect the diversity of the United
racial
States of
demographic
America.
Demographic composition. Racial demographic. Is that what you're saying?
Racial, gender.
Okay, so race should be a factor in employer hiring practices. Yeah, that's what you're saying, is it not?
Organizations ought to attempt to match the diversity of
you're
their...
You're hopping around the question.
No,
you don't
I am
answer
answering
it.
Quite straightforwardly,
who
as a matter of fact.
Who gets to determine which races are preferred?
Pause it a second. Okay. Again, this is Representative Brandon Gill questioning a DEI expert, is how they described him. I just wanted to catch you up because this is a really long clip, and if you just turned on the radio, I wanted to catch you up as to who this is and what they're talking about. Okay, go ahead.
I don't. I I already told you I don't have a single racial group.
You just told me that you believe that the racial demographic makeup should be taken into account in hiring practices.
And it should be reflected in all levels of companies and other organizations.
Okay. Let's talk about college admissions. If two different children are applying for college, let's say one is white and one is black, and there's one slot available, should they be evaluated based on the same objective criteria, test scores, for instance?
Are you familiar with holistic admissions?
Should they be held to the same standards regarding test scores?
I am a proponent of holistic admissions.
It's just a yes or no question.
Yeah, no, I can't answer that question for you as a proponent of holistic admissions.
Got it. I'll take that as a no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Holistic admissions is not a merit-based. It's the same thing. They just call it holistic because liberals pick words like that because it makes it seem like it's just natural. You know, so it's just natural to prefer this gender to this gender, this race to that race, and so forth and so on. So when the courts have said, the DEI programs are unconstitutional, this is how they're going around it. You remember the story of the lady at UNC Charlotte in admissions or wherever she was, I believe. And Brett Jensen had that story. Oh, I think the whole place had it here, where they try to come up with ways around that and skirt the law. I think that's what he's getting to the bottom of, but holistic admissions is the same thing. It means choose everybody over Asian and white students when it comes to college admission, which is unconstitutional. Can't do it. And at one point in there, and I can't believe I didn't get that part, since it seemed like I got the whole session of Congress that day. That clip was so long that I pulled. It's like, I didn't know it was that long. But at one point in there, he said that, you know, that there should be proper representation. And that's another thing. Proper representation is fine, which that means that whatever position, or let's say it's a boardroom in a company. The boardroom should have proper representation, meaning it should have the same amount of members that is proportionate to that number of members of that race in society. So that would mean if we did that, then only 12 to 15 or so percent would be black. And then the largest by far now population or representation would be white. And then the second largest would be Hispanic, because there are now more Hispanics in the country than black people. So I don't think he would really want that either. But I just hate all of it being judged on race. And, you know, Republicans, we always, you know, they try to put that tag on us that we're the racist party and all that. We have a clip from this maniac, Jamal Bowman, coming up later. And it's been everywhere because he made such a fool of himself on CNN, which is hard to do, to make a fool of yourself on CNN. They say Republicans are racist when the Republican Party was founded upon fighting against slavery. The racism has always been on the Democrat side. And they'll say, but then it was at first on Democrats, and then those Democrats that were racist switched over to the Republican Party, and that's not history either. There were a bunch of Southern Democrats that didn't want integration. And then they separated, started calling themselves Dixiecrats. And then all of the Dixiecrats remained Democrats except for one, and that was Strom Thurmond. All the rest of them went right back to the Democrat Party because that more closely was their view of things. But I mean, anytime you get into that, judging on someone's race or their gender or any of that kind of stuff, their religion, getting preference or getting kicked out of something because of their religion is bad. No matter how it lands, it's just, it's not supposed to be that way. And I think this Representative Brandon Gill did a good job of making the point of that. Because if you're going to say, you know, you need to give preferential treatment because of race, well, then who makes that decision? And what race is it always going to be or whatnot? You know, you can't just say, oh, that's the way it should be. Somebody's got to be the judge in it, right? And that's where it gets sticky. Okay. All right, got more coming up. Hang on.
The TJ Richey Show.
Hear the TJ Richey Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjrichey.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjrichey.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjrichey.com.
He's America's coolest conservative. Welcome to the TJ Richey Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3. WPT.
Well, good evening. Good evening. Oh, that traffic was a mess this afternoon. All up and down I-77, and I always forget, because I guess I'm kind of a narcissist. I forget that there's another part of 77 that affects people. It's not just from here up to Lake Norman. Because when I say I'm 77, I forget that there's a 77 part that runs south. But I don't even think about those people. I'm like, it was bad for me. It was bad for me. That's what matters. But no, it was bad all over the place. And I hate it so much. Y'all, you don't even know how badly I hate that. Well, quick, very important news out of Hollywood. There is an actor. He's one of the hot young actors now. His name is his parents pronounce it Timothée Chalamet. That's his name. Then doesn't that sound like just a regular guy, just a good old boy down at the old watering hole, right? After he's been working on the plumbing with his dad, Timothée Chalamet. Well, he dates, I think it's one of those Jenners, Kylie Jenner, or one of those. And the Kardashians reportedly say that they don't care much for him because he seems snobby, because he never wants to hang out with them and do stuff with them as the family. And I know why. I don't even know this fella, but I can tell you why. Because they're trashy. Timothée is not going to have the guts to tell you that y'all are just trashy. Doesn't matter how much money you got, how beautiful you are, how much clout you have. You're trashy. And Timothée is above that. Timothée Chalamet. All right, so my girlfriend went off today, y'all. My girlfriend, DJ Jazzy F stand for Felicia, Jasmine Felicia Crockett, a.k.a. Congress member of congressional congressing for the U.S. House of Representatives. She was up in there, I mean, turning it on Trump. He doesn't know what to do with her. She's running circles around him and every damn body else up there, and doing it with style, class, sophistication, and precision. I think she could be the next president of the United States. And then at that point, I would be the first gentleman. Because that's when I would can profess my love for her and try to ask for her her hand and eyelashes in marriage. Stop now. I love her. So here she was today putting Trump, his whole family, and especially his ugly wife, Melania, in their places.
And since we're talking about integrity, I'm confused as to why my Republican colleagues aren't talking about the lack of integrity when it comes to the president's family's visas.
Ooh.
Let me remind y'all that Melania, the first lady, mm-hmm. a model. And when I say model, I'm not talking about Tyra Banks, Cindy Crawford, or Naomi Campbell level,
ooh,
applied for
did.
And was given an EB1 visa. And what that stands for is an Einstein visa. Now, y'all that don't know, let me tell you how you receive an Einstein visa.
Tell us,
you're
girl.
Supposed to have some sort of significant achievement, like being awarded a Nobel Peace Prize mm-hmm. or a Pulitzer, mm-hmm. Being an Olympic medalist, or having other sustained extraordinary abilities and success in sciences, arts, education, business, or
tell
athletics.
Them.
Last time I checked, the first lady had none of those accolades under her belt. It doesn't take an Einstein to see that the math ain't mathing here.
I know you heard that. I know it. I know you heard that. Accolades. They ain't got the accolades. What she said. The math ain't mathing on that. She doesn't care that Melania Trump is what most people would think, if they don't know any better, would think would be a perfect immigrant to the United States, because she's very, very brilliant. And she speaks 6 different languages fluidly. That doesn't matter. I mean, you heard the brilliance rolling out of my girl. She wasn't just a model. She was a Miss Universe. But what does that mean? Nothing. She ain't no Tyra Banks, Cindy Crawford, or Naomi Campbell. I'm thinking, though, that even though I love her so much, I'm gonna give her a little bit of a tip. If you're going to start naming models, you might want to get some that have modeled, you know, since 2010. You know, they're a little bit more, you know, relevant. But, hey, that's one mistake she made. That's it. And people coming down on her for telling the truth. I can't believe how people treat her. You should hear all the other conservative talk show hosts and everything, the way they rail on my girl. But you know what that means? It means they're just jealous. They just jealous. So I think that that's going to be my number one focus on this show. It's not going to be to educate people on the hidden agenda in our culture of Marxism, leftism, communism, and all that. My goal is to get people to see the truth about my girl, Jazzy. One of these days I'm going to meet her. And when I do, she's going to be like, "Oh, you the one been pleading my case for me." And I'm going to say, "Hell yeah. Bring it in. Bring it in. Don't mean no side hug, full on firm embrace. I know I'm married now, but you give me one butterfly kiss from the eyelashes, I will be melted and have my bags packed. That's all I need is a butterfly kiss from those paintbrushes that she got on her eyelids." And you know that's just to please the men, because men love those. You know we do. Man, just warms my heart, though. I'm glad she's finally getting a word in, telling her truth about their truth, so we can all live the truth. You heard me? Oh, you heard me. But more importantly, you heard her. That's what you need to hear. More coming up.
TJ Ritchie. radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
America's coolest conservative is on duty at the mighty WBT. WBT. Hey, and I'm not the only one saying it. People are saying it far and wide. They're like, I don't know that guy's name, but he's the coolest conservative in America. I'm hearing it on the streets. That's what I'm hearing. All right. Something very, well, it's not even shocking anymore compared to all of the rot gut stuff you see going around social media and everything. I saw this right before I came in to do the show today, and crack producer, not on crack producer, but crack mean like he's on top notch. Lonnie, that's an old term. I didn't want anybody young listening saying, "Ooh, Lonnie does crack." He called him crack producer. No, it's short for Cracker Jack. You know, you're awesome. And I'm acting like I'm my grandmother's age now, saying Cracker Jack. Okay. Anyway, so Lonnie did a great job and went and hustled it up for me. This is a woman who pretends to be a man. And a lot of times you can tell, you know, if there is a case where it's hard to tell by looking at them, which that's very rare. To look at a trans person and not know what their real sex is. But if you ever come into that, then you can tell by the way they present their arguments, whether they're a man or a woman. Because, you know, hormone blockers and surgeries and all that can't change that. So I know that this is a woman who is pretending to be a man. Or thinks she's a man. And listen to what she says.
You can just kill ICE agents. You know that? You can just kill them. You don't have to hold your phone in their face and ask people when their birthday is and ask people what their name is and then try to find wherever they end up in Los Angeles. You can kill them. This isn't about social media clout anymore. This is no.
So, somebody should be hunting her down. Some mini peoples with a badge. But this is the mindset, and it comes from something's happening I don't like, so I'm going to say the most hysterical, over-the-edge thing that I can say. Now, you can tell that this person did not grow up as a male because she is just rattling off stuff like that. She did not grow up having to worry about popping off her mouth and somebody busting her in the eye. You know, women don't understand that a lot of times. For example, when my brother was, he's older than I am, but when he was first married, he was in a drive-thru at Burger King, and the truck in front of him did something, and he saw the truck do it, and he stopped in plenty of time. But my sister-in-law reached over and blew the horn. She was in the passenger seat, and she blew the horn. And when you do that, you got a guy who's blocking you in. There's somebody blocking you in the back. So there's a good chance that he could get out of that truck and come over to your car and want to drag you out of that and fight. Not saying that he would win necessarily, but men and boys grow up, or we used to. I don't think they do as much anymore, but you grow up thinking, okay, well, if I say certain things in certain ways around certain people, I'm going to have to be ready for them to take it the wrong way or however they take it, and I'm going to have to defend myself, and I might have to fight. Women don't grow up thinking that. Little girls don't grow up thinking that. So, she's there just rattling off, nang, 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 like a hen. Shoot 'em. You can kill ICE agents. right? And that's why so many women on social media now that you see are getting, you know, they're finding out, as the phrase goes. They've done something and now they're finding out. So anyway, that's something you can't do. You can't just say to people, go kill ICE agents. On the other hand, on the other side of this, there's a man that I just started following on social media because he has changed his life and he's documenting his life on his Instagram account because he is a man that went through the process of trying to change into a woman. And then he's now changed back and is living as a man. And he's trying to get accustomed to life as a man. So he got accustomed to living life as a woman. Now he's having to go back to getting accustomed to living as a man. And he's also, the main reason he's doing his all of his stuff on social media is because he's decided to now walk with the Lord. And he's become what he calls a baby Christian. And he's learning, and he admits, I'm learning every day about being a Christian. I'm going to church, and I want everybody to help me along and all of this kind of stuff. So he documents the things that he does in his new life. So we're going to play a clip of something he's very excited about but nervous. But listen to the damage that is done to him. You can hear it in his voice from all of these treatments and everything that are permanent. You know, they say it's not permanent, you know, whatever. They talk about it with the kids. But, I mean, this is a man, and it sounds like a man, but it also, his voice sounds high and funny. Okay, listen.
So I'm doing something I never thought I would. I joined a men's golf league, and today is the first time we are meeting. You know, when I was living as a trans woman, literally never could I have imagined that I would be doing this, because my entire life revolved around doing a women's golf tournament, doing a women's book club, wearing women's clothing. But now that I'm free, now that I don't have to disguise myself for any sort of identity crisis, I'm just here to have some fun. So wish me luck and let's play some golf.
Yeah, here he goes.
Okay, so I just turned on the masculine charm. I was like, hey guys, I'm Ebenezer. How you doing? Yeah. I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just want to get accepted by these guys so bad. Yeah, I don't think that could have gone any better. I mean, it was three guys. Yeah. We had a great 9 holes of golf, and I just felt like one of the guys. So yeah. I'm looking forward to doing it next week and just really impressed with how easy things feel. I'm not disguised. I'm not pretending. I'm not faking. Yeah. I'm just one of the guys.
There you go. Now, as a detransitioner, he's the enemy now to the LGBTQ plus peoples, I would assume. They usually do. You've turned your back on them because if you're not with them, you're against them. And now he's decided he's not with them. And so I'm sure he has no support from that side at all. Because, you know, it's supposed to be live your truth. Live who you are. Unless you go against what the movement is. And then don't live your truth. Now, I don't use the term your truth. That's what they use. I'm just saying what they say. But, I mean, the treatments that he's had, you hear his voice. His skin is really smooth. And he still has breasts. But then again, so do I. I haven't taken any estrogen. I've just taken, you know, cheeseburgers. Yeah. You know, that McDouble with no onions or mustard. Woo. That'll put some big old boobs on you, man. Now, I gotta be honest with you, I've never, ever, you know, wanted to be a woman or been in any type of identity crisis or anything like that. But hanging out on the golf course all day with three strangers that I've never met sounds like misery to me. Like, good Lord. Oh, I'm too much of an introvert for that. So I give him credit for that, being brave to just walk up in a group. Hey, just give me three guys to play with. Wait, that didn't sound right either. Give me three guys to play with whom to play golf. And then they just go. What? Y'all are picking on every word that I say tonight. I'm just trying to do my thing. These silly fellas in here. Well, good for him. And I'm going to keep up with how his life goes. And who knows, I may reach out to him. That's what his Instagram is for. He wants people to reach out and help him along the way. People who have been Christians and they know more about it than he does. Because that's what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to learn. So good for him. Can you imagine what you must feel like when you've been living that and everything about you was, all your energy was spent trying to be something that you'll never, ever be. And then one day you realize, hey, this isn't right. I'm going back to the old me, but it's going to be a fight to get back to the old me. Man, they'd really do a number on these people. People who are supposed to be mental health professionals and all. They screw them up. Or at least they don't help them. Okay, so our new segment. This will be the third night for it. Maybe the last night, depending on how it goes. Called TJ on the News is coming up next.
More of the TJ Richie.
Hear the TJ Richie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjrichie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjrichie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjrichie.com.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the TJ Richie Show.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to the sixth and final hour of the show. Yeah, I've been on here 5 hours already. Y'all don't even know. Goes by fast. Seems like just an hour ago I started. But that is what it is. Time flies when you're having fun. That's what I'm trying to say. All right, here we go. Let's get the news.
Live from the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's TJ on the News.
All the most important stories from around the country and around the world with TJ on the News. Andrew, are you ready? Lonnie, are you ready? All right, well, then let's go with the lead story. Come on. Love that. A Florida nurse named Allison Swan was arrested during a 3 a.m. domestic confrontation. And she has pleaded no contest to battery. And she's been sentenced to complete a 29-week batters intervention program, according to the court. Police say Swan's wife, who is also a nurse, was making nachos with nacho cheese in the kitchen. That is a quote from the police report. No offense to the officer who wrote the report, but how the hell else you gonna make nachos without nacho cheese? It's a little redundant, but English class is tomorrow. So she was, quote, making nachos with nacho cheese in the kitchen. Now, just a side note here. It might be fun for you, as you're listening, to hear each song before the segment and then in the segment determine what the song has to do with the story. So the Mexican music has to do with the nachos and the nacho cheese because that's Mexican food. All right. So it was around 3 a.m. when Swan, quote, told her she shouldn't be eating this late and made a comment about her weight. Okay. It does not matter whether you are in a heterosexual relationship or a lesbian relationship. You don't call a woman fat. They don't like that. In case you didn't know. During the argument that followed, Swan approached her wife and grabbed a handful of the cheesy nachos and shoved them down the back of the victim's leggings. She also allegedly slammed the victim's head on the floor and shoved her fingers into either side of her mouth and hooked them like a fish. You think this woman would be described as crazy? I think I would call her crazy. When officers responded to the couple's Port St. Lucie residence, they spotted two yellow smears resembling nacho cheese on the wall. I mean, I hope they called in their best detectives for this. You know what that looks like? If I'm not mistaken, Rogers, that looks like nacho cheese. You know what? Let's get the fellas from the lab in here. Bag it. We'll send it to the lab. An examination of the victim's leggings, hello, revealed what appeared to be nacho cheese on the interior backside, consistent with her story. Okay. Well, they got their woman then. They got her. All right, next story.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
A flight attendant called passengers to subdue a woman demanding a business class upgrade. The woman refused to take no for an answer as cabin crew refused her demands on board the flight from St. Petersburg to Egypt. So this is Russia to Egypt, not St. Petersburg, Florida. The angry passengers shouted at staff for the Russian airline Aeroflot. She says, quote, I'm in pain in my butt and in my, another word for boobs. I came here. I want business class. So the clip of the incident showed her yelling, but I need a business class because I was working. It was also reported that she stripped her shirt on the 6-hour flight and threatened to open an emergency door in protest. Desperate to end the tantrum, the crew turned to the other passengers to overpower her. Two beefy men are seen restraining the woman and pushing her back into her seat. According to the Russian television, the scenes reached 18-plus content. I guess that means that she was showing her whole boobs on the camera. To get to the coveted seats, the passenger began taking off her T-shirt, hoping at least that would work. The stewardess first tried to manage on her own, but the brawler wouldn't give in. The report added that the woman was subsequently moved to the rear of the plane and then handed to police on arrival, where the Russian authorities killed her immediately. I added that last part. It didn't really happen, but if it's in Russia, you think it might, right? All right, next story. You can stand under my umbrella. You can stand under my This is sad. There's a young lifeguard, like 20 years old or so, in New Jersey. And she was putting the umbrella up on her lifeguard stand, and the wind caught it, and then it threw her off the lifeguard stand, and it hit just right in the freakiest of accidents, and impaled her through her armpit and out her back on this big umbrella. So paramedics got there. They cut the pole of the umbrella. They didn't take it out. They had to leave it in, but they cut it to where there was only a little, like a foot sticking out, so they could get her to the hospital, get it removed and sewn up. And she's in stable condition, but they said she was conscious through the entire thing. And that she was that tough. Man, that is sad. But she's going to be all right. And, you know, even sadder is that, you know, when she wakes up from surgery, she's still going to be in New Jersey. Poor thing. All right, here we go. Final story. Ooh, that smell. Can't you smell that smell? All right, this is a little crass, but it's true. A cop in England might lose his job after he asked a female coworker to pull his finger. Then he passed gas right in her face. He's dealing with a disciplinary review to decide if he should be fired or not. Now, this happened a while back, but it's just now getting to the punishment phase. I guess that's how they do it over there. The coworker says that she knew what he was planning to do when he said, pull my finger. Well, hopefully you would know what he's planning to do. That's kind of an old joke. So she told him to go away. But then he spun around, stood up on his tiptoes, and passed the gas less than 6 inches away, and then laughed. In the review board, they decide if that qualifies as gross misconduct, and if it is, then he'll lose his job, not just get reprimanded. Well, I would say it's gross misconduct, because it's gross. And I don't think that he has the frame of mind to actually be in law enforcement protecting the people anyway. If those are the kinds of decisions that he's going to make. And I can't stand people who don't have manners. So, yeah, I say fire him. I mean, he's an English cop. You know, where do I care? It's not like, you know, it's my neighbor or something. You hear our neighbor lost his job? You mean Officer Brown? What happened? He farted in a coworker's face. And they fired him? Okay, and there you go. That is TJ on the news. Hang on, we got more coming up.
The TJ Ritchie Show. Identifying liberalism. And mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Ritchie Show. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Hello. Hello, pretties. You are all my pretties.
It's not dark yet. It doesn't really get dark until we leave. You know? I love the darkness. I'm the prince. Well, no, I'm not the prince of darkness. That's the devil. I ain't even going to play like that. What's wrong with y'all? Okay. This week has seen the triumphant return of one of the most brilliant political minds in the country, nay, the world. He's a former U.S. representative from New York. I say former because in this past election, he got embarrassed, and I mean, he was just waxed in the election. And he would, he had AOC out, helping him rally the troops and And I don't know if you saw, his name's Jamal Bowman. I don't know if you saw these clips going around the news, but he was on stage out in a park, and he was rapping, and he was yelling to the crowd, come on, come on. He was trying to, you know, trying to relate to the young peoples and the peoples in the community. And he had AOC out there for some street cred. And she had on some big, what they used to call city shorts, like culottes looking things. And she gets the mic, and they're playing, I mean, like some really heavy beat stuff. And she runs out there, and she's fist pumping with the mic, and she's got this like mean mugging face. And she looked so goofy and out of place. It looked like, I don't know if y'all did this at your schools when you were growing up in high school and all that, but that one week during football season at the pep rally when the cheerleaders dressed up like the football players and tried to act like football players, and they'd come out. And, you know, they were prissy little girls. They were the cheerleaders, and they just looked weird trying to imitate guys, tough guys. And that's what AOC looked like. But anyway, that's just a fond memory of mine from the past election season. So anyway, Jamal Bowman is the genius that pulled the fire alarm in Congress that day. They had a vote that they were having to go back and make, and it looked like the Democrats weren't going to get the votes they needed. So just like, you know, Democrat politicians, professional Democrats always are, they're shady and sneaky and underhanded and crooked. He goes over to delay the vote by pulling the fire alarm, and they had to evacuate the building. Y'all remember this. And then he said he thought it was the door release to get out. Okay. Now, I don't know what's worse. If he would have just said, yeah, I was trying to stop the vote. So you know that he's shady and crooked and sus, as the kids say. Or for him to actually stand there and say, I am so stupid that I thought that was a way to unlock the door. The red thing that says pull in case of emergency or pull for fire or whatever it says. And what's even worse about that is all of the Democrats came out and got in front of cameras and defended him. Oh, you can't hold that against him. But anyway, he was on CNN on a show, on a panel. And he just really went off. And he made some great points. And I hate to give him credit for this because I do think that he's just a complete blithering idiot. And I also think that he's racist. But he's also, you know, maybe certifiable. I'm not sure. But this is what he said in an argument with one of the, I guess, as close to a Republican as they have on this show. Listen.
You can't be calm about this. I'm a black man in America. The reason why heart disease.
I'm white. I can't comment.
Listen to what I'm saying. The reason why heart disease and cancer and obesity and diabetes are bigger in the black community is because of the stress we carry from having to deal with being called the N-word directly or indirectly every day.
God. The stress we carry. Now, first of all, there's so many things here to examine. First of all, how do you indirectly call somebody a name? He said, we worry about being called directly or indirectly the N-word. I don't know. I don't know if that's possible to indirectly call somebody a name. Like, you know, this Andrew over here, young Andrew, he's a doofus, right? So I could say, I mean, saying if you were a doofus, or if I were going to call you a doofus, I don't mean you're a doofus. Or do I? So say, hey, Andrew, you're a doofus. That's directly calling him a doofus. But how would you go around the bush to indirectly call him a doofus? It doesn't make sense. But then again, Jamal Bowman is an idiot. But I had no idea that the N-word causes cancer, diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure. This is the first I'm hearing of this, and you talk about this. This is how well read this man is. I've never had a doctor tell me that. And you would think, with all of the sensitivity training and everything that all of these companies have that I've been through, you know, it's a mandatory thing. You work for a company, they're going to make you go through, sit and you watch these little DVDs and things about how to act in the office. But not one time did they stress the health benefits that the African-American employees would receive if nobody would say the N-word. Wow. Now, obviously that means that it's when white people say it, right? Because black people say it all the time. And if black people would stop saying it, then there would be none of these diseases left in the black community. You understand what I'm saying? Wow. I mean, this Jamal Bowman will really make you think, you know? So I guess that I couldn't blame, you know, since I contracted obesity, I can't blame that on, you know, I'm walking around worried somebody's going to call me a cracker. I can't. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about somebody not giving me some crackers. That's what I'm worried about. That's how I caught obesity. Give me some Lance in my pants. But I don't want to seem like I'm not taking Brother Jamal seriously here now. Let's not get off the subject. Because I am. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say it. At 55 years old, I can learn stuff. And I just learned something from him. That's been with me all day. What else can we call upon him to change for the better? Now I feel badly for celebrating the fact that he lost his election. I mean, he needs to be higher in election. He needs to be president. At least the Surgeon General, am I right? He knows some medical stuff. So here's the thing. I don't know how the people on this panel, whether they're, you know, liberals or whether they're not liberals, I'm not going to say conservatives, because I think there's only one conservative on CNN. But I don't know how they didn't just bust out laughing. I mean, come on. And I would go to the CNN people and go, do you really expect me to sit on a panel with a blithering idiot like this? So you're gonna dumb me down with somebody like this? I mean, even if we're on the same side of the political aisle, I got to sit here and be dumbed down by this moron. So I'm anxious to see if he goes back. Because when they're former politicians, they love getting these gigs as recurring guests on these talk shows and all that, and they get paid a pretty good bit for it. So let's see what CNN does with it. I think he ought to go to Newsmax. They need to jump on this. You know, the conservative news media needs to just go ahead and admit defeat like I have and give him credit for being the smartest person in the country, obviously. Let's see if we can get him for an interview, Lonnie. We'll reach out to him. All right. Well, good. We got more coming up next. Hang on.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Okay. How you doing? All right, where are we here? Oh. I'm about to jump into some culture stuff here. And this is one of those times where I think I'm going to be called, you know, just a grouchy old man or not wanting to change with the times and all of that. So there is an article that I found in the New York Post, a.k.a. the Postie. And it's a typical lifestyle type of article that you would find in at least several days a week in our media. Now, I will just read at it for you. It's an article by, seems to be probably a Brit, I'm guessing. And it goes like this. There's a sweet little baby shower video doing the rounds on Instagram right now, and I haven't stopped thinking about it. The adorable video was shared by, and then lists the person's account, a heavily pregnant U.S. woman showing a giant mountain of diapers, wipes, and baby gifts stacked high in her living room. Gifts from a surprise baby shower thrown for her husband by his workmates. And look, I don't care how emotionally dead inside you are. If that doesn't warm your cold, crusty heart, I don't know what will. And then it goes on to describe the baby shower, and she couldn't believe that her husband's friends did this for him and all of that. And the whole reason for the article is to say, should we normalize baby showers for men? Some expecting dads think so. All right. Answer, no. Let me put it this way. Back in the, I would say, late 90s, early 2000s, it became popular and trendy to do couple showers. Because that didn't happen, you know, before that time. And I didn't want to go to couples showers. Well, it's just going to be like a cookout and things. Okay, well, at the cookout, am I going to have to stop drinking beer and hanging out outside with the guys and come inside with baby gifts being opened and oohed and aahed and all of that stuff? Well, yeah. Okay, well, then I'm not happy about this. But this is clearly another attempt by the left in the country to feminize men and redefine, as they always say. You know, communists will always use the term reimagine. They're going to reimagine masculinity. You know, we talked about this the other night. Any opportunity they can on the left, the Marxists and communists and the likes, any time they can emasculate men in the society, that's what they're going to do. The war on masculinity, this is part of it. If my guy friends threw me a surprise baby shower, and it was just a regular baby shower, it wasn't come hang out and we're gonna, you know, we're gonna drink some beer and then we're gonna throw some money in a pot so you can go get the baby some diapers and all that kind of stuff. If it's wrapped up diapers and decorations and oohing and aahing and all of that, then I would have to say that either, if I'm in that situation, either all of my friends are gay and I didn't know it, or they think I'm gay. Right? Now, one thing that they do when they're talking about reimagining things is they will say that this is the new whatever. They'll just declare it, right? I'm not kidding you. I saw a story one time, the headline, well, the picture on the story of the front page was a bunch of men lying around in their pajamas all up on each other posing for a picture. And it was about cuddle parties for men. And the headline was Redefining Masculinity. These, you know, these cuddle party men who participate in cuddle parties are redefining masculinity. No, they're not. You're not redefining masculinity. You're doing something feminine. Now, that's your business. Go cuddle with 1,000 men if you want to. And if you're sexually attracted to them, fine. If you're not, fine. I don't care. Have at it. But then don't come back and say you're masculine or that it's a masculine activity and people just don't understand. No, admit you're just doing something feminine. It's not hard. You don't have to drag the rest of us into this to make yourself feel normal. It's not normal. I don't care what anybody says. And if you come out saying that it's normal, then you're lying to yourself. It's not normal. Men don't cuddle each other just to feel secure. Men don't have baby showers. We have a culture. Don't go messing with it. Now, if it's a gay couple, you know, like on Modern Family, Cam and Mitchell, and they adopt a child, regardless of how you feel about that situation as a whole, but if that's the case and they're having a baby shower for the two men, fine. Because it's a feminine thing, and both of those guys on that show are kind of effeminate. But don't have it and say this is the new masculinity, because it's not. It'd be like if I went out and got on the court at the arena over here, and I started just banging the ball off the backboard, not even getting close to going in the bucket, and then I said, "This is the new good basketball." This is the new all-star basketball play right here. Or if I ran up, you know, to the goal and I jumped and I could only touch the bottom of the net, and I said, that's the new slam dunk. You can't just start redefining things. I would say, hey, I was trying to dunk, but I like touching the net better than dunking. I get it's not good, but that's what I like. Just say that. You say, I know baby showers are feminine, but I like it. And you don't even have to be feminine all the time. But just when the feminine activity comes along, you're being feminine. Own it. Say, yeah, I'm a masculine guy, but I love when my friends throw me baby shower. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, man, I don't even feel alive until I'm sitting there and my buddy's next to me taking notes and writing down who got me what so I can get him a thank you note afterward. I mean, I know that's feminine, and I might be feminine while I'm doing that, but I love it. I really do. I'm telling you, man, I can have a bad day out there, you know, working in the log woods. But if I know I'm coming home on a Friday and then Saturday somebody's throwing me a damn baby shower, I'm a whole different person. I'm the happiest man on earth. I mean, people know I love having baby showers. I love throwing them. I love receiving them. It's just, I'm obsessed with baby showers. And then after that, once you know, my wife ain't having no more babies, that's when I'm going to get into these men cuddle parties. Go up there to New York City where they have them. Just cuddle a bunch of New York men. Come home refreshed and rejuvenated. Okay. Let's take a break, shall we?
The DJ Richie Show. Bringing the heat.
Oh, hot, hot, hot.
Whatever that means. This is the TJ Richie Show on News. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Yes, proving minute to minute why I'm America's coolest conservative. I think one day the mayor is going to declare it officially Coolest Conservative Day in honor of me. You know, I'll be up there talking with her. Yeah, well, I tell them back home in Winfield, Louisiana, that the big city of Charlotte has a woman mayor. They laugh. They go, no, really. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. There's a major crime that has been committed in Atlanta that we need to be focused on here. They are in full investigation, turning over every rock. They say just some good old-fashioned police work. They're hitting the streets, nose to the grindstone. They have to find the rest of these, because I don't know, I haven't checked the news this hour, but maybe they've gotten all of these criminals. It's a big gang of them in Atlanta that have committed the worst crime that you could imagine. It's a teenage gang. I believe there were six of them. They've apprehended four. And last I heard, they were still on the lookout for the other two. But you've probably heard about this. This is those teenagers who pulled down the pride flags and cut them up with a knife. And the Atlanta police are trying to catch up and investigate, get it all the police work done, because they're looking at possibly charging these teenagers with a hate crime. Now, what I think is fantastic news in this whole situation is that just recently, very recently, I can remember Atlanta being a complete hellhole of crime. Violent criminals just ruining Atlanta. And obviously, in a short amount of time, they have gotten all of that cleaned up. And they have no crime in Atlanta to focus on, because everything is cleaned up, that they can really put all the effort that they're putting into this heinous, heinous crime of this ruthless gang and what they've done. So good news all around. The Atlanta police are focusing on this like a laser, and they are allowed to do that because they've rid the city of all other crime. I don't know who the mayor of Atlanta is or the chief of police or any of that, but we need to use them as an example. All cities do, of how to clean up all the crime. And I guess they're just crime free. Now, they don't even know. Like you say, well, why would they be charged with a hate crime? Well, it's because the gay flag in liberal-run cities is sacred. I mean, because you can burn an American flag, and they'll say it's freedom of speech. But if you cut up a pride flag, then that is terrorism, basically, and possibly a hate crime that they would throw onto these teenage boys that they'd carry with them the rest of their lives. Now, that doesn't make sense. Now, I don't believe in vandalizing and doing stuff like this, but, I mean, is it a hate crime? They don't even know where the flag came from. They could have brought the flag with them and stood there and ripped it up. They said that there's a gay bar right there that has all this stuff close to it. They don't know if the city paid for the pride flags to be out there, so they maybe get charged with public property destruction or something. But the city is not supposed to be buying things like pride flags with taxpayer money. They're not supposed to be doing that. So I don't think anybody has said, hey, those were my flags. I paid for those. And where they could get a, you know, a destruction of property charge or whatever you would look at on that. But they're on the case. You can bet that. And the guy that owns the gay bar there said he just felt so threatened. He felt like his house had been broken into and he'd been threatened. Well, then you've got a screw loose if that's what you feel like. Because that doesn't have anything to do with your house. Doesn't have anything to, nobody threatened you. Being dramatic. I want a flag. Why can't I have a flag? Everybody got a flag. I want one. Give me a TJ flag. And I dare one of y'all in here to try to cut it up. I have WBT hit y'all with hate crime. I say they don't like fat people. That's why they were hating on me and cut up my flag. Can you imagine though? I mean, if you're the cops and you're having to put all this emphasis on trying to find teenagers, and they also they're also charging at least one of them's parent for this. I mean, you're a cop on the mean streets of Atlanta. And they go, "What'd you do at work today, honey?" "Well, we're trying to find those teenagers who cut up that flag." "Who did what?" "They cut up a flag." "What? Cut up a flag? American flag?" "No, pride flag. We're going to get them though." "Oh, really? Thank you, Barney. Glad you're on the case." But I guarantee you, you could have somebody, and I know it's happened, somebody in Atlanta, a teenager, murders somebody, gets found guilty, and his parents don't get citations and charges for not keeping track of him. It's just a crazy, crazy way of looking at things. Again, I'm not advocating tearing up people's stuff and all that. I hate that. Matter of fact, I think that Banksy ought to have been arrested a long time ago. Banksy is a famous street artist. And when he goes and does paints something on the side of a building, it's worth all these millions and millions of dollars. But it's still vandalism to me. I say, bring me Banksy. I'm pressing charges. But he just made your building worth so much more money. I don't care. I got to paint over that. I'm the same way. I don't like any kind of vandalism. So I don't get why this is held up higher than other crimes that are more serious and they're actually violent. But then again, I don't like hate crimes in the first place. I think you should get the maximum penalty for whatever crime you create that you committed, and tacking on charges for what your emotions are, it just that doesn't make sense to me either. But I mean, they're talking about like these are the worst of the worst criminals. I got to go to Atlanta this weekend. I forgot about that. I'm going Saturday. But now I'm glad, though, that I don't have to worry. I'm going to leave my truck doors unlocked. I'm not worried about anything. They don't have crime in Atlanta anymore. Obviously, they don't. I'm going to roll up in there. And I'll put a citizen's arrest on somebody if I see them messing with a flag. I will. I bet you I see a bunch of Braves flags because I'm going to the Braves game. But if I see somebody mishandling a Braves flag, I'm taking them down. I will. I better not see any Phillies fans in there messing with Braves flags. Don't test me. Yeah, so this is my son's graduation gift from college because we never thought he'd make it. So, I mean, we didn't think he was getting out of third grade, to be honest with you. So he went to an indoctrination center. My daughter didn't go to an indoctrination center. She went to a historically white college, university, an HWCU. It was a private Christian school in Nashville, but they still do indoctrination on. They're still liberal. But my son went to a state school because we spent all the money on his sister's school. Not so joke. So he got some of it. But I've been deprogramming my kids from school since they started in first grade, kindergarten. And I would ask the teacher at the beginning of the year, okay, I just want to know what kind of lessons they're going to be taught. And so I know you've got to get certain answers out of them to pass, but I want to know what I got to deprogram them from when they get home. You know, about Earth Day and those kinds of things. My wife's kicking me under the table. I really did that every year. Every year I did. I know they got to give you some answers that the state wants and all the, you know, the agenda. But I would like a heads up. My son came home from kindergarten. He was mad. He said, Daddy, look. He slammed this piece of paper on the table, and it was a drawing of the earth, and they made him put a Band-Aid on it. I was like, oh, son, sit down. Daddy's got to talk to you. But good thing he knew that was wrong. I'd already learned him right, you know. Good. All right, so the great one, Mark Levin, is coming up next. Remember, God loves you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. See you later.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.